Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So the Public Protector of South Africa released a report on the investigations into administrative deficiencies relating to the processing of gender-based violence-related matters within the South African criminal justice system. And I would say this is long overdue. Advocate Brenda Madumise from Wise for Africa, director there, is on the line with us. Thank you very, very much, Advocate Madumise, for making time for us. I'd say this is long overdue. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, long overdue in the sense that you needed an institution like the Public Protector to do that investigation when all these issues that have been raised in that report have been plagued by them, you know, for the last 15 years or so.
Yeah.
So the good thing with this investigation and the review and looking at the systemic failures of the criminal justice system, yes, it's welcome, and it's good that it was done by that office.
Yeah. You make the point that it's good that it was done by that office because these are issues that civil society, the likes of yourselves, have been speaking of for a very long time. Now, I know that you are part of the people that actually submitted commentary on this particular report, so you've been involved. But this is not new. This information is not new. Civil society, many stakeholders have raised these issues. Why do you think, you know, even as we have policies in place and the law in place, that implementers of the law cannot carry out what actually is already there?
Exactly, Pamela. I think for me, and I've been making the point, and we've made the point in our submission, when you talk of system failures and you look at systemic failures, it tells you that somewhere within this system, from beginning to end, something got broken, right?
Mm.
It could be that someone who is a manager failed to manage his portfolio, failed to hold those responsible accountable, right? And you will see in most of what comes out of the report, it's really ineptitude and laissez-faire attitude from officials and not executing they are responsible that they're employed for. So once you take up a position and you are appointed as a chief director or a clerk of the court or a prosecutor or a magistrate, your responsibilities are set out. And there is someone who has to ensure that they oversee and monitor that you execute as required. And what we see is that that is not the case, right? So we've employed people in the public service who really are there to push the time, right? Be able to clock time and be able to get compensated at the end of the month. But when you ask the difficult question, the deep question, what do you do on a daily basis? Are you proud of yourself that of the 1,000 files that you are sitting with in a Randburg court or Pembridge court, or any of the 38 courts that the Public Protector looked at, that you are proud to say that you work for that Department of Justice, or you work for Department of or you work for the South African Police Service, or you work for Social Development. I mean, we public servants have to ask themselves that question, because they have let us down and they failed us on a daily basis.
So what strikes me, Advocate Madumise, is that, you know, crime is so rampant. Gender-based violence is systemic. It's a pandemic in this country. So if you know a woman, you know someone who knows someone who's either experienced it or who's going through it. So it's not like we don't know that this is going on right in our homes. Why is it that these public servants, who themselves obviously know that they can be affected or are affected and their family members are affected by their same system, don't get invested, because this is for all of us? I'm trying to understand the disconnect.
And we need to find out why the disconnect. So what I have observed over time is that people disconnect themselves from the broader social societal issues, right? So I'm a clerk of the court.
Yeah.
I do the bare minimum as a clerk of the court.
Yeah.
I don't see myself as being part of a society that is also required and expected to contribute towards ending gender-based violence in this country. So that isolation and disconnecting yourself from the overall solution, that you're also part of the solution, is what for me is critical, and that is missing, and has been missing for the longest of time in this country.
So, of course, it's very easy for us to look at the Department of the Police and Justice and so on, but there are other departments here that we also need to engage. Yes, I know that the courts are administered by the Department of Justice, but some also need to be looked after by Public Works. Again, this disconnect of how a leaking building, for instance, no water in an environment where someone arrives traumatized, can add to the trauma.
Yeah, exactly. So let's look at that. You have been given reports, and I'm sure communities in those areas had raised this. So let's just talk about the many imbeciles that were called, right? Where communities will raise these issues and tell you, as a minister, that this court has got no running water, right? The ablution system is not working. Surely, someone within Department of Justice who's responsible for that court, working closely with public service, would have, once it's raised, that it raises an alarm, and someone who needs to move swiftly to attend to it. What we have seen over the years is that there's no agency in this country to resolve and address these issues. None whatsoever.
Do you think when at the highest level, when budgets are allocated, people think through what cutting budgets, for instance, of the Justice Ministry means in the long run? In other words, do you think we are all tuned in to how some of these budget cuts have these kinds of results on the ground?
No, I don't think they are tuned in. And I think, we live in a country that gives a masculine posture, right? Mm-hmm. And so we look at macro issues, and we're looking at fiscal policy, monetary policy, and we don't link that fiscal policy and monetary policy to all the other issues, and that's why we keep on emphasizing that you cannot look at gender-based violence in isolation of everything else, right? So if you're allocating $5 billion to transport, right, for instance, and you want to put a public transport system, you need to put a gender lens in that public transport planning, conceptualization, execution, and monitoring. You can't divorce gender analysis in your allocation of your budget, because how women and men interact with a policy or even a decision is totally different. So when you are going to be designing something, transport, if you are going to talk health, you are going to talk education, you have to have a gender lens, right? So there are, in with this budget in this country, when you decide to cut, in fact, where you cut, you start with the softer issues, right? Because you want to be seen to be macho, and you want to show up with the boys that you're looking after the interest of this country, where we talk of big macroeconomic policies and fiscal policy and monetary policy, and everything else is secondary. And that's what has happened. So it's easy to cut. We don't have to have a court system. We're not even investing in a proper prevention strategies around crime prevention, around gender-based violence, around all sorts of social issues around our intervention in substance abuse and all of that. So, and my sense is that the decision makers don't see those issues important, because they don't seem to be enough and muscling enough to talk about, and then we can think of you as being very smart and clever.
So, of course, now we have remedial action. We've got proposals by the public protector. We now are waiting for the incumbent to take this over. How concerned are you? And maybe it's an unfair question, but how concerned are you of the incumbent being someone who will carry this out with the political will? We spoke earlier about how, no, the policies are there. In fact, we've heard this before, but someone needs to be a real champion. How concerned are you of that?
I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned. Remember, you have, as we speak, there are court orders against the South African Police Service that they have not given effect to. So what is a public protector remedial action? What does it mean to you if you have decided to be contemptuous with a court order, right? Mm. So, I mean, it's going to force all of us again to demand action, right? To remind them again that these are remedial actions. Where are we? And I can promise you now, 6 months down the line, someone will remember that, oh, by the way, the public protector had done this mm-hmm. investigation. Let me see what they had said. And then it takes another 6 months to a year to see if we can implement, not even say I'm implementing, to see and work out the feasibility of implementing what the remedial action is all about. So, I mean, you know, this country exhausts us precisely because it requires on a daily basis that you keep on fighting to get people to do what they were employed to do.
Advocate Brenda Madumisa, thank you so much for your time. She is Wise for Africa director, and we were discussing that public protector report that was released today on issues really related to gender-based violence and how courts are not managing to really just focus on what needs to be done. But I mean, it's quite a systemic problem. And so what we'll do is we'll actually share that report on our social media platforms, and yeah, wait for the incumbent to see who gets to implement this. It's 8:30.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.